Invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. It was interesting to me this last week to read from a wide range of writers about Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, which is a description of our earliest brothers and sisters in Christ, what their life together looked like, and in particular, I like one writer who is actually Anglican, a member of the Church of England. Interesting to me that what he said about Acts 2:42 is that those are four landmarks of the church. You know what a landmark is, don't you? Those are the markers that tell you the boundaries, that tell you the basics. What is it? What are the boundaries for this piece of property? I think that's an interesting way to think about Acts 2, verse 42, that here are four glimpses of the early church's life together. And notice the definite article, the, over and over again in chapter 2, verse 42. That these earliest Christians, those who, if you go back to chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, those who respond to the preaching of Peter by saying, "What shall we do about our circumstance?" Peter's reply is to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And it says some 3,000 are baptized into Christ that day, on the day of Pentecost. What happens after the baptistry? Chapter 2, verse 42 describes that. We've talked in the previous weeks about two of those things that are mentioned. I want to read again verse 42. "And they," it refers there to those first 3,000 or so that are baptized into Christ, "that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers." We've talked in previous weeks about the praying of the early church. Last week we talked about the breaking of the bread. This is not simply a common meal together, though verse 46 will describe the times of meeting in their homes to eat. But here it is specifically, it seems to me, this looks back to the night that Jesus was betrayed, in which he meets with the apostles in the setting of a Passover and gives new significance to two elements of that Passover meal, the bread, the unleavened bread, and the cup. And now, this morning, I want us to give attention to a third element of these four and these basics. Acts 2, verse 42, the apostles' teaching. Why did these earliest brothers and sisters in Christ, why were they so intent on giving attention, focused attention, to the teaching of the apostles? I would point you back, first of all, to the Gospels. That the apostles continue the teaching ministry of Jesus. That Jesus told them to do that very thing. I would point you back, first of all, to the end of the Gospel of Matthew. When the resurrected Jesus, in Matthew chapter 28, the resurrected Jesus, the last two verses in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Notice what the resurrected Jesus, the soon to ascend back to the Father, Jesus, what does he tell his apostles? These same apostles whose teaching the early church gave attention to. Verse 19, they are told to go into all the world, and as they do that, to make disciples, learners, followers of Jesus, to make disciples of all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But then look at verse 20. It's not simply that they are baptized into Christ, but Jesus says it is important that then, having been baptized into Christ, having begun this life in Christ, that they learn to live like Jesus in this world. And so he says in verse 20, it is not enough simply to baptize them. But having baptized them, verse 20 it says, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Here are these apostles, Christ's missionaries, and he says you are to go into all the world and make disciples. But what do disciples do? They learn. They learn to be like Jesus in this world. I want you to teach them, Jesus says to his apostles, to observe all that I commanded you. Do you see the picture? Here is Jesus. Here are the 12 that he has taught. And he says, I want you, the 12, after I ascend to the Father, I want you to teach them to observe all that I commanded you. And he reminds them, you're not in this by yourself, by the way. I'm not leaving to go on vacation. That I will still be with you, even to the end of the age. I would point you also to the Gospel of Luke. And you may remember that Luke writes both the Gospel of Luke as well as the book of Acts. He addresses both of those to someone named Theophilus. That name Theophilus literally means someone, a person who loves God. Theos, God. Philo, love. One who loves God, Theophilus. But look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Again, the resurrected Jesus meeting with his apostles. And in chapter 24, verse 44. Then he said to them, Jesus, that's the he, them, the apostles. He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. He's saying before the resurrection, before the cross, before his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I spoke these words to you, but they were a little much for you just yet. While I was still with you, that everything written about me, and here he speaks of the three divisions that the Hebrew Bible is divided into. If you read a Hebrew Bible even today, it is divided this same way. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Psalms and the other poetic books. He's saying the Old Testament. That I told you that the Old Testament spoke about me. But he says it was a little much for you just yet. But he says in verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Well, the ones he just spoke about in verse 44. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. He opened their minds to look at the law and the prophets and the Psalms with new eyes in light of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Verse 46, and he said to them, thus it is written that Christ is written where? The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. That it is written thus that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. He's saying the Old Testament anticipated the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 47, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Jesus says, I want you to continue my teaching ministry. Your minds have been opened up to what the Scriptures said about me. The Old Testament Scriptures, the Hebrew Scriptures. I would invite you also to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Chapters 14 through 16 of John is the time that Jesus is spending with the apostles before he goes to the cross. It is anticipating the time when, in fact, he will leave and return to the Father who sent him. And he is preparing his apostles for his absence. And I think they're kind of worried as they hear this. What is that? Where's that going to leave us if you no longer are with us? And he is reassuring them in chapters 14, 15, and 16. And then prays for them in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. But look with me at chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. Jesus, who is about to go to the cross, Jesus says to the apostles, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you, the apostles, all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Do you see why the earliest brothers and sisters give attention to the apostles' teaching? Because it is not simply their teaching, but rather they have been taught by the Spirit to convey the message that Jesus has left for his disciples. It is not left simply to them being good rememberers. Do you see that in verse 26? The Spirit will bring to your remembrance those things that I taught you. How is it that the message of the apostles, the apostolic message, how is it that we should trust that really is what Jesus said? Because Jesus tells them that the Spirit will bring to their remembrance those things that he taught them. Look at chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, verses 26 and 27. But when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. He will bear witness about me to you. That's his point. Verse 27, and you also will bear witness. Just as Acts 2:42, verse 2:42 says. There is this apostolic teaching that the early church paid attention to. You also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And then look at chapter 16 of the Gospel of John. Verses 13 and 14. I think this is a fascinating thread that runs through these three chapters. But when the Spirit of truth comes, verse 13 says, he will guide you into all truth. Why is it that we can believe and put our faith in what the apostles taught us? Because it's not simply their message. A teacher I had a number of years ago in talking about these verses said, the apostolic message is a message rooted in eternity. It is not simply their message. And that's why we do well to pay attention to the apostolic message. It is a message rooted in heaven. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, But whatever he hears, the Spirit, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine, Jesus says, the Spirit will take from what is mine, and declare it to you, verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is a message that is trustworthy. And it's not simply that we would have to be there ourselves to hear this message of the apostles. The Bible says about itself that the written message from the apostles is as good as if the apostle himself was there. I point your attention to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Paul, in writing in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 14 and 15, Paul says that God has called us. But he has not called us individually. He has not called us each somehow in the warming of our heart. The Apostle Paul says that God calls us through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. To this he called you through our gospel. How is it that those 3,000 on the day of Pentecost are called to God? God calls them through the preaching of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ is God's call to this whole world. Are we a called people? Yes. For we are called in the same way that our earliest brothers and sisters were called, through the preaching of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He has called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says. But notice verse 15. For Paul will say in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15, whether you hear this gospel from my own mouth or by the words that I write, it is of equal authority. It is of equal power. We do not have to have an apostle to preach to us today, for we have the words that they wrote. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us. Do you hear the similarity of language to Acts 2, verse 42? They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. And here the Apostle Paul says, stand firm in the traditions that you were taught by us. But notice the last part of that verse. Either by our spoken word or by our letter. Paul says it doesn't matter whether you have an apostle in person to speak these words. If you have what they wrote, it is as good as if the apostle was there himself. Why is it that our ancient brothers and sisters gave attention to the apostles' teaching? Why is it that we ought to see the apostles' teaching as a landmark, as a basic boundary for describing who we are in Christ and what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus? It is because the Bible says about itself that we ought to give attention to these writings of the apostles.